Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please take note that today's recorded shiur will begin 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis. I repeat, 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis, Omid Beis. For the Daf Yomi purists amongst us, let us tell you that Daf Yud Beis, Omid Aleph, was part of our Daf Yud Aleph recording. And if you want to start at Daf Yud Beis, Omid Aleph, so you will find that at the 58:28 mark of our Daf Yud Aleph recording. Once again, the 58:28 mark of the Daf Yud Aleph recording. Our shir begins today, as we mentioned, 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah on Daf Tes Omid Beis that said, Nechosim She'ein Bohen Mi'ila V'chulei. If a person damaged nechosim she'ein bo'em mi'ila, so one is chayav, one is obligated to make restitution. Now, nechosim she'ein bo'em mi'ila, translated would be those kind of properties that don't carry with them the mi'ila violation. Mi'ila is a term, it's the name of the sin for one who receives personal benefit from sanctified items. Upon receiving personal benefit from sanctified items, items that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash to serve as a sacrifice, etc. So one who does receive personal benefit from that is guilty of mi'ila, and that carries with it the obligation of bringing a sacrifice and offering the Beis HaMikdash restitution. Now, our Mishnah describes my having damaged nechosim she'ein bohem mi'ila. What does that mean? The Gemara, structurally speaking, is introduced on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. A triangle appears, and you'll notice that there are triangles numbered Roman numeral 1, and quite a way down on Daf Yud Gimel Amal Aleph, Rava will appear as Roman numeral number 2. We will probably not reach Rava in terms of our text reading today, as far as our Daf Yomi Shiur is concerned. Our Shiur will probably continue to the upper part of Yud Gimel Omid Aleph, but nevertheless, we have to point out that there are two approaches, Beis Pirushim Lahadikotani, to explain that which is taught in the Mishnah, Nechosim She'ein Bohem Mi'ila. The Gemara. Mi'ila hu deles behu. The property damaged described in our Mishnah, all we can say about it is that it doesn't carry with it the potential for the Mi'ila type sin. Ha Mikdash Kachi. However, there is sanctity upon the items described in the Mishnah. In other words, I damaged a sanctified item that doesn't have with it, that doesn't contain within it the potential for the Me'ila violation. So you have a rather unusual situation, something that on the one hand is sanctified, but on the other hand, personal benefit from it would not result in a Me'ila violation. That is something we have to check out. Like, what could that possibly be referring to? B. Be that as it may, the first approach is that the Mishnah is referring to something that is sanctified, but it doesn't carry with it Me'ilah. If you skip to Roman numeral number 2, and this is the time to do it, we see on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, more than halfway down, Rava Omar, the second triangle, My Nechosim Shein Bohem Me'ilah. What does the Mishnah mean by that? Nechosim Shein Bohem Din Me'ilah. Property that doesn't have any legal association with Me'ilah. A realm of property that doesn't have any Me'ilah relevance. Umay Ninu, and what might that be? Tehetyot. Common property. Commonly owned property has no connection with Me'ilah. Me'ilah is something associated with the realm of sanctity. Not Hedyot, commonly owned property. The Gemara asks, okay, if that is your approach to the Mishnah, Velisni Dehedyot, why does the Mishnah use a somewhat convoluted term to refer to something that you could have referred to much simpler as Nechosim Shel Hedyot? Kashya. So that remains a difficulty with Rava's approach. Let us go back to our Gemara here on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We just said that there is a kind of property that, though does not contain the potential for a Me'ilah violation, however, it is sanctified. So we ask, Man Tana, who is the author? Now, Rashi says, Man Tana de Mechayev ben Ezekin im Hizik Shoro Shor Shlomim Shel Chavero. Which Tana would hold that if my animal damages someone else's sanctified animal? Now, are there examples of things that are sanctified that don't have Me'ilah associated with them? The answer to that is yes. The realm of Kochim Kalim, of literally the light level sanctity sacrifices. Light level sanctity sacrifices include within them the Shlomim sacrifice, often translated as the peace offering. The nature of that is that if you derive personal benefit from a Korban Shlomim before it has been slaughtered, if you have derived personal benefit from it, you are not violating Me'ilah. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it. It's also to do it, to let's say, ride the back for transportation purposes of a Korban Shlomim. But if one does so, he's not in violation of Me'ilah. So to bring things more down to the ground, as Rashi just did, who is the author of this idea that if my animal, my unsanctified common animal, damages someone else's Korban Shlomim, that he will be chayav, he will have to make restitution? The Gemara, and when we say you have to make restitution, basically we're saying you have to pay for damaging his Shlomim just like you would have to pay for having damaged his regular animal, his common unsanctified animal. Who holds thusly? The Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Yochanan b'kotshim kalim v'alibad Rabbi Yossi aglili. This is true with regard to kochim kalim, light-level sanctity animals, which we said do not have any me'ilah associated with them. In accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, diomar momon bailim hu, who views such animals as being under the ownership of the human being, the personal owner, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash. What is gained by this classification? It then, the Shlomim animal then fits in to the Pasuk, which says, which describes the person's ox goring shor re'ehu. Kigach ish es shor re'ehu. When someone's animal damages shor re'ehu, his friend, re'ehu is his friend, his colleague, his equal's animal. Can something that's sanctified be called your friend? Is the Beis HaMikdash your friend? So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, something that's been sanctified to serve as a Korban Shlomim is called Momon Bailim. It's called personally owned. It's called Shor Re'ehu of the Pasuk. And as such, one has to pay for damage rendered. Desanya. Now we have a Tanaic source. It opens with Pasuk, three words from a Pasuk. The Pasuk is in the context of a Shavua, Shavuos HaPikadon, an oath that would be taken by a Bailey paid, or someone who was hired to watch someone else's item. And if he swears falsely, so the Torah legislates what penalty he must suffer. Now, in the context of that discussion, it says, the Pasuk says, Umoalo mal bashem, v'chichesh ba'amiso. The Pasuk is found in Vayikra, Perek He, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Nefesh ki sechta mualo mal bashem, v'chichesh ba'amiso, v'pikadon v'tzimasyal v'gozol v'oshak es amiso. Pasuk Chof Beis goes on to say, O motza veda v'chichesh ba, v'nishba al shoker, alachs mikol asher yase odom lachto bohena. The Pesukim go on to tell us what the offender must do. However, what we are describing is what's called Shavuos HaPikaron. Person swore falsely having the possession of someone else's item. And just to repeat, in addition to Mualo Mal Vashem, that you've sinned against God, V'chichesh Ba'amiso, you have denied to your fellow man. So the Pasuk is describing this element of sanctity, something that's a sin to God, and kikesh b'amiso, denying to your fellow man. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili is going to be the author of this idea that the damage done to a korban shlomim is called shor re'ehu. And the source says, let's start again, desanya umualo ma b'ashem, bearing in mind that the pasuk goes on to say v'chichesh b'amiso, Le rabbis kotshim kalim shehem moinoi divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. This comes to include a person who swore falsely concerning having the entrusted korban shlomim of his friend. He lied under oath and then admitted that he sinned thusly. So, as the Torah says, he has to pay the principal, add a fifth, and also he brings a guilt offering, a korban osham. And all of this is true with regard to a korban shlomim, which would not be the case had you been dealing with other forms of sanctified items. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading we call Nosei Hemshech, meaning a continuation. Shitas Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Kochim Kalim Mamon Bailim. We're featuring Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion that the realm of Kochim Kalim, light level sacrifices, like a Korban Shlomim, and there are other examples of Kochim Kalim, are Mamon Bailim, considered personally owned property, as opposed to something that would be Beis Hamikdash owned property. Nafgamina L'Sugyosenu, the practical application of this analysis with regard to our Gemara, our topic, Shor Hamazik Shlomim Shechaveru Chayv L'Shalem, a person whose animal damaged someone else's Shlomim sacrifice, has to pay the Shoreu Karina Bey. This is referred to as his own possession. Let us continue in the Gemara. The Ha'tnan, we have a Tanaic source that says, Hamakadish Bechelkoi, someone who marries a woman with his Chelka, with the portion that he received. Bein Bekotche Kotchen, Bein Bekotchem Kalim, Eino Mekudeshes. Whether it be a portion you received from a low level sacrifice or a high level sacrifice, the marriage does not take hold. When dealing with sacrifices, we know that after they're slaughtered, so there are parts of the animal that are divided out. Some kinds of sacrifices, kochi kochim, are exclusively the realm of kohanim. Kochim kalim, the kohen gets only a part of it, the chaz of a shok. The bailim, the owner, gets the rest of it. And here, the Tanaic source is saying that a person who tried to marry a woman with his portion of even kochim kalim, she is not considered married. So, lema delo k'Rav Yossi Aglili, should we say that this is not in accordance with Rav Yossi Aglili? According to Rav Yossi Aglili, kochim kalim is considered your own possession. Why then, when offering a woman such an item in marriage, would it not be an effective means of marrying? We understand that marriage is effected by a man giving money or something of money value to a woman in exchange for agreeing to marry him. If kochim kalim is considered your own possession, why would she not thereby be married? The Gemara responds, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This source of Mekadesh Bechelko can be authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Ki Yomer Rabbi Yossi Aglili, when did Rabbi Yossi Aglili say it's your mamon, it's considered your own property? Mechayim, that's as long as the animal is still alive before it's been slaughtered. And Rashi adds, the reason for that is because you have, if anything happens to the animal, you have to make good on it. Rashi says, Shachrayesu Alav, you have a responsibility over the animal. That's true as long as it's alive, but before it's been offered as a sacrifice. Avaliachar shchita, after it's been slaughtered. Afilu Rabbi Yossi Haglili Moide, even Rabbi Yossi Haglili will concede, Dechi ka zachu, that when people receive their portions of sacrifices, Mishulchan gavoa ka zachu, they receive it as a benefit from the table on high, meaning from the Almighty through the Beis Hamikdash. It's considered a privilege, a benefit that you have, but it's not considered your own property at that point. The Gemara asks, you'll notice we have a long question. This question will take us to the top line of Daf Yud Gimel. Umechayim mi Omar? And here we ask a question, and they will say in the other extreme. In other words, questioning the basic hesper, the basic explanation we were offering up till this point. And is it really so that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would view kochim kalim as your mamon, as your own property, privately held property, as long as the animal is still alive before it's been slaughtered? V'ha'tanan. We have the following source. We're going to use lettering for this source and a source later on to make it easier for us to navigate in the Gemara later on. So there's a source that says, Bechor is a firstborn male animal. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was brought as it was given to a Kohen and was offered as a sacrifice. It says, Bechor moichrin oisoi tam chai. A firstborn male animal can be sold. Tam means unblemished. A Kohen who receives this as one of the different priestly gifts that the Torah enumerates. So a Kohen who received a Bechor can sell it. Tam means even though it's not blemished. And whoever buys it will wait till it develops a blemish and then slaughter it as a non-sacrifice. But as long as it's alive, the Kohen has a right to sell it, even though it's not blemished yet. Bal mum chai v'shochud. If the Bechor has developed a blemish, it can be sold, whether alive or even after slaughtering. Umekachin boy esoisha. And kehanim can marry women by offering them the Bechor. The Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua, Loishonu Elo Bechor Bezman Azeh. This idea that a live Bechor is considered your possession while it's tam, before blemish, and you can see that it's considered your possession by the fact that you can marry a woman with it. Rav Nachman qualifies it and limits this to a Bechor after the temple destruction. That's Bismanaz and nowadays. The Keva de Lochozi Lahakrovo is Luhuzluch Kohanim Zechia Begavayu. Since it's not fit for being offered, there's no temple, there's no altar, there's no means of offering it nowadays as a sacrifice, so the Kohanim have a Zechia Begavayu. They have a holding in it. They have ownership in it while alive. But we infer from this that Avol Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Dechazi LaHakrova, but as long as the Beis HaMikdash was extant and it was fit, the Bechor was fit for being offered, lo, we would not say that a Kohen could marry a woman with it. It would not be considered Mamon Bailim. The Esve Rava the Rav Nachman, and regarding that which Rav Nachman said, Rava raised an objection from a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source, you will see quite readily, is a Beis Hamikdash time. It's a source that applies during the era of the Beis Hamikdash, and it says, Umoal Omoal Bashem. L'rabois kotshim kalim shehein mamoinoi divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Of course, this source should be quite familiar to us. We saw this above. So the pasuk basically, without reviewing all the details, the pasuk reveals to us that kotshim kalim. By the way, a bechor that we mentioned before is in the realm of kotshim kalim. A kotshim kalim, a light level sanctity sacrifice in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, is called Mamon Bailim. How do I know it's called Mamon Bailim? Because the pasuk cited here, Mualo Ma Bashem, is followed by the words V'chichesh Bamiso, and the source above said is that Shehein Mamono, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It says that right over here. Shehein Mamono is considered your holding. So what do we see? Rav Nachman above wanted to say that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Kotshim Kalim would not be Mamono. And here we have a source that says, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kotshim Kalim Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash is Mamono. Umeshani Ravina, and Ravina answers on behalf of Rav Nachman. The source above that said, referring to source Aleph that Ravina had, that is Rav Nachman had explained before, is Bevechor Bechutz Laretz. The Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Before we go further, just let us glance quickly at the Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara text. Umeshani Ravina, Hocha Dikotoni de Momon Bailim Haim. Here that there's reference to the Bechor as being Mamon Bailim, we saw that in the sense that a woman could be married by receiving a Bechor from the Kohen. Bevechor hanolad b'chutzlaretz bizman ha-mikdash askinon. That's talking about a Bechor in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Delokoi la-krova. That it's not available, it's not really there for ha-krova, for offering purposes. We must make a correction in what we said regarding Ravina. So Ravina, he explains this source, the source of Umal Amal Bashem, the Rabbis Kotchim Kalim, as referring to Bechor Bechutz Laretz, Valiba de Rabbi Shimon, a Bechor coming from outside the land of Israel, in accordance with Rabbi Shimon's opinion, de Omar, Im Bo'o Tamimim Yikrevu. If someone brings his firstborn male animal from the outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and it's unblemished, it can be offered. Imbo in l'chadchila lo. If it was brought, but not that it's mandatory to bring it. So in a case like that kind of bechor, a bechor in chutz la'aretz, Rabbi Yossi Haglili is willing to consider that momon bailim. Now, v'im Esau, and here is where the question comes to a head. V'im Esau, if it's so, like we explained earlier, the Chiyom Rabbi Yossi Haglili momonahu mechayim, that Rabbi Yossi Haglili claims that kochim kalim is your momon as long as it is still alive, then Rava's question on Rav Nachman is concerned, Lishni, then Ravina could have answered the question that Rava posed to Rav Nachman simply by saying, Ha Rav Yossi Haglili, Ha Rabbanan. That source, Beis, where Rav Yossi Haglili appears, is a reference to Kochim Kalim Mechayim, that Rav Yossi Haglili holds is Momon Bailim, and the source above that Rav Nachman was commenting on was in accordance with the Rabbanon, that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, even Mechayim, it's not considered Momon Bailim. And the only way to explain the source above was, as Rav Nachman said, that it's a Bechor Bizman Hazeh. So the question is, if, as we explained earlier, that according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Kochim Kalim Mechayim, even Bizman Beis HaMikdash, is considered the owner's, it's considered personal property, that is Mechayim. If that were so, then Ravina could have resolved the question posed by Rava simply by saying that the Rabbi Yossi Haglili source is Rabbi Yossi Haglili dealing with Kochim Kalim Mechayim. There it's called Momon Bailim. The Rav Nachman, the source that Rav Nachman, the Aleph source that referred to above, is in accordance with Rabbanan, that Kochim Kalim is not Momon Bailim, unless you have a case of Bechor Bizman Hazeh. So why didn't Ravina say that? As a result, we have our question on the explanation that we gave above, that we said that Rabbi Yossi Haglili, when you're dealing Mechayim, considers it Momon Bailim. The Gemara answers. Our original answer stands, that Rabbi Yossi Haglili, when dealing with your rank and file, your standard Kochim Kalim, Mechayim, it is considered Momon Bailim. And that will include a korban shlomim, so that if my common animal damages a korban shlomim, the offender will have to compensate, because the korban shlomim is called momon bailim. Ravina, who didn't say that this source of the Rabbah's Kochim Kalim is as Momono is a reference to Kochim Kalim Mechayim, the reason for that is that the source is dealing with Bechor. It doesn't say Bechor in the source. It says the Rabbah's Kochim Kalim. But in the source itself, which is quoted here only in part, but if you look at the Gemara, four lines from the top, right over here on Daf Yud Gimel, the same source is quoted, but there's a continuation to the source. And in the continuation of the source, it's pointed out that it's dealing with Bechor. Without getting into the how you see that exactly, but you can see in the frame section that's coming up at the end of the source, Lo'omar ben Azai Ela b'Bechor Bilvad, we know that the source is focusing on the case of Bechor. So in this source of Mo'ala Mal Bashem, which is dealing with Bechor is in the category of Matnas Kahuna. Matnas Kahuna are the gifts, the 24 gifts that the Torah entitles Kohanim to receive. And Matnas Kahuna, the Gemara says, Ko'amris, you're making reference in the Rabbi Yossi Haglili source for Matnas Kahuna. Shiny Matnas Kahuna, Dechi Kozachu. Even Rabbi Yossi Haglili acknowledges that Kohanim receive their gifts from on high. It's a merit, a grant that they receive from the Almighty. It's not Momon Bailim. That's with regard to Bechor. So even Bechor, even Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that is, with regard to Bechor, views it as Momon Govoa, with the exception of what Ravina said, if it was a Bechor coming from Chutz La'aretz in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. That kind of Bechor is different. But to speak about a standard Bechor, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili will acknowledge that that's not Mamon Bailam. That's Mishulchan Gavoa. However, a Korban Shlomim Mechayim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili will tell you that that is Mamon Bailam, as we said before, and with that we understand our Mishnah that said something that lacks Me'ilah, but nevertheless is sanctified. If damaged, the offender must compensate. That's called Shor Re'ehu. And once again, that's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.